a new episode of the Monday Mile podcast. This week we're in West London with a man who's not just a dancer, known formerly for his time on Strictly Come Dancing as the youngest ever professional, a natural athlete, a competitor, and now following his entrepreneurial endeavours. Today I am joined by AJ Pritchard. AJ, how are you?
I'll take that intro any day, yeah. I'm very well, thank you.
Now, we've met over our mutual bond and love for all things sport.
Yes.
I'm not sure if you remember, but we actually first met at BBC Sports Personality of the Year when you danced with your celebrity partner, Lauren Steadman.
Is that the one in Manchester?
Did we do one? Yeah. No, Scotland.
Oh my God, all the way. Oh, Jesus.
That was a long time ago.
That's crazy. Time flies. No, the one thing, like, you do so many different ventures and different things. Like, when somebody says an exact date and moment, I kind of have a little panic in my heart. I'm like, okay, I'll find this moment and visualize it. Because I find, like, Curtis, it sometimes just says yes. And I'm like, no, if I can't visualize it, I won't say yes to it.
You're not just going
like,
to bluff it.
I'll probably go for more like, I'm really sorry.
But I do.
But like, I can't remember that exact point.
However, more recently, we have met numerous times on the start line of the London Landmarks Half. And even more recently, head to head on a paddle tennis court.
It's the new thing right now, isn't it? It's, the paddle is the way forward. But no, the half marathon, like we do... If it's become an annual thing now, hasn't it? Of torture and pain.
It kind of has, hasn't it?
The problem is we're both competitive, so we both want to do a good time. But you took a chill one. You brought your mum last time, didn't you?
Yeah.
You're like, I'm going to take it easy. I saw that technique.
You know what? I still think we may have taken Curtis on the last corner.
Oh definitely.
Near mum's.
Curtis died. Curtis, every time he trains and then he dies when he gets there. It's quite funny to watch.
Now, one of my best friends is a dancer. Most people listening to this podcast will probably know who we are talking about. She swears by the fact that dancers do not like running. And I have dragged her numerous times on runs to Richmond and in fact, in a multitude of locations across the world. You seem to have broken the mold as one of the only dancers that seems to enjoy putting himself through the physical task of running.
I think for me, it's always like, there's so many different options and different paths you can take in life. And I always seem to choose the one that causes more hassle, more pain, and the one that really pushes me. And running is the one thing that it's always kind of been something mum's always been like, okay, you need to be able to run, sprint a mile, like super quick, so you at least pushing your body. But then for me, doing the half marathon, I think is a good thing. I enjoy working towards that, but I've never done a full marathon. I feel like that takes up so much time. It's training. And as you know, like you got to do it to win. You got to beat your own personal best. I can never just be like, oh, I'm going to go for a casual run. I'm not that person.
That doesn't exist.
No, absolutely not.
So have you always been a natural competitor?
Oh, life is a competition, isn't it? As long as you're winning in it, then it's always good.
Life is a competition.
Yeah, what? Like second is the first loser.
Wow.
Straightforward. Like when it came to my dance career, that's all I always thought, well, second's the first loser. If you get first, your name is on the trophy, you go down in history. If you get second, name's not on the trophy, don't go down in history, nobody remembers you. And what's the point in dedicating your whole life to something, to being like, oh, I didn't want to go that extra mile, I didn't want to just that extra hour of training, that extra, whatever it may be, you know deep down if you haven't given it everything.
Yeah, it is Strictly season. And you've yeah. essentially alluded to it very nicely. And taking yourself there. We can't not speak about Strictly. How many years were you on the show for?
I did it for 4 successful years, but I did not make the final either. One of them
does
was.
That still.
But what I tell myself deep down, which is quite funny, is if you don't make the final,
yeah.
technically you get more airtime. This is factual as well.
Okay.
Because if you make the final and you come like fourth or third, you're straight away out. You don't get an It Takes Two. Whereas if you actually make the semi-final, you get kicked out, you get the whole of the It Takes Two Monday show
okay.
of you live on TV, and they make a fuss of you then for all the returning celebrities in that show on that kind of like, oh, here are all the celebrities that had a go and didn't make the final, but they make a big thing about the person that just missed out on the final. So I'd always get that kind of starring role there. So you see, I'm somebody who turns every negative
Everything.
Into a positive. Okay. It has to be.
So that was the positive part
that was
of
the positive
not
part.
Winning that competition.
Yes.
I like
yeah.
the way you've turned it around.
Yeah, I have to. I'll start driving myself a little crazy inside.
Do you miss it, AJ?
No, for me, it's like, obviously I always do get that question. For me, it's about my energy, my time. If I'm always putting my time and energy into projects and things like that, I'm happy. I love it. I think the one thing, like, when I decided to stop Strictly and do that, it was kind of like, I'd done 4 years of doing, like, obviously Strictly, the tours, the arena tour, you do pantomime each year. Like, for me, I got to a point where I wanted to challenge myself in a new way and grow as a person and really do other kind of ventures. And the one thing with Strictly is, like every job, you only have so much time in the day. There's only so much energy you can put into something. And for me, if I'm always doing something to the max, like, you are going to burn out. And I'm somebody who's not the best at this. I will say that this is one of my weaknesses. I kind of like give everything until I just like
break. Broken.
Yeah. But I think that's like, I know that that is my personality. And as long as you know what you're good at and what your weaknesses are, I think that's kind of a strength in itself.
So what you've done really is essentially quite a bold move. From the outside looking in, and as you said, you get asked the question all the time, why did you leave? Mm. Did you see taking that step as a positive step in manifesting whatever it is that's next for you?
Yeah, 100%. And I think one thing that people kind of, it's a bit of a reverse psychology in my aspect, is kind of when people feel like they've got, let's say, in this instance, me with a job, if I say no to that job, I've got nothing then, or I've lost my income, or I've lost this,
identity,
or I've lost that.
Also can be a big
one. Yeah, and I feel like, for me, I've always known who I am, and what I like and what I don't like. And I think that's something that I've always been very happy with in myself. And I feel like when you talk to older people, even people towards the end of their lives, like, they've never found out who they are, like what makes them tick. So for me saying like, well no, I'm happy. I've done 4 awesome years on Strictly. I'm gonna go find something else and push myself in a different aspect. Like, what's scary about that? I don't see that as something being scary, where some other people be like, oh my God, you've just said no to like guaranteed work for the rest of your life and being on TV. And yes, that's awesome. But at the end of the day, like, I wanna do other things. I wanna keep moving. I keep advancing as a person.
Who is AJ Pritchard today? You said you always know who you are deep down.
I think for me right now today, it's just somebody just does things that makes him happy. Like, I'm happy to make my decisions, like going to the gym every single day, trying to create a schedule and being able to say no to certain things that don't make me happy. Like, you know, like certain brand deals come in or TV shows come in. Like, this morning just said no to a TV show for something else. And it was a healthy amount of money.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, no, don't feel like it. I don't want to do that. It's not going to be the best for me personally deep down. So I said no. They came back with more money. And then I still said no. But it's a very powerful feeling to have in your kind of court, saying like, well, actually, no, I've got the power. If I don't want to do it, I'm not going to do it. But thank you very much for the opportunity.
And often that puts you in such a powerful position to not only direct the career you want, but often it's the reverse psychology, and that can be seen as attractive. When you say yes to every single opportunity, you're flying around here, there and everywhere, and you are easily accessible. In your position, you do have a public profile.
Yeah.
The more you do, the less you're worth. Turning up at 3 events as opposed to 12 in a week, those 3 appearances essentially can make you more valuable because you're harder to gain access to.
Yeah, it's really hard when it comes down, especially when with charity events is probably the hardest one, because you want to help every charity. But when you dilute yourself down so much, it's hard to give everything every single time. And especially when it comes down to actual paid work and things like that, it's like, no, this doesn't fit into schedule. This doesn't fit into what I want to do. And it's a nice feeling to say no. It's a weird thing to say.
Yeah. I feel like I can really correlate with you when it comes to leaving, let's just say, a phase of your life. Mm. So my snowboarding career, I call it the degree of life. And I did that for a long time. It was 13 years. And the question that I get asked all the time is, why did you stop? Why don't you want to do it anymore? Why would you quit your dream job?
Yeah.
I think there's an opportunity to not just have one dream, but 2. So what is your second dream?
I think for me, like when it comes down to my very first dream before Strictly was like, I started dancing. I wanted to be number one in the world. And as crazy as that sounds, I got there. But in my head, I was like, that was never crazy because I've done it. And then you kind of look back and say, okay, I've done that. Strictly came along and I said, I'll never do TV work. I will refuse to do TV work. I'm going to travel the world being a true competitor. Said yes to the TV industry for a couple of reasons, but somebody passed away and said, take every single opportunity. So that was kind of my take from that, and did TV, loved it. Awesome. I feel like now in like this next kind of chapter is still being open to doing all the TV work. I absolutely love it. I love a bit like what you've kind of transferred over, that kind of opportunity to do more presenting, to do more different things that maybe you wouldn't have been able to do because you've been pigeonholed into one position.
Yeah.
But for me, it's always been about taking these opportunities that friends, family, or you kind of see on that entrepreneurial aspect. For me, as soon as I got my first paycheck, actually even before Strictly, I would always invest in stock shares, always done that. Like that was the one way that I actually allowed me to purchase a flat, like, which I'm so grateful for quite early on. And then moving into doing some other things with property, like doing serviced accommodation and kind of taking them opportunities to be a bit like, okay, let's go for it. What's the worst that can happen? If you don't take these opportunities, if you don't take them steps, if you always live in fear, and that's what I feel like most people do. They live in that kind of fear of something going wrong. Then you're never going to see it's good or bad. And you're going to be put in positions that you maybe don't feel comfortable, but it allows you to grow as a person because you have to deal with something that you couldn't predict. And that's the one thing I love right now is about putting myself in these opportunities that maybe you can't predict what it's going to be, but you're going to deal with it. You're going to find out and it's going to allow you to grow as a person and really widen your network. And that's one thing that I love at the minute, like traveling, meeting new people, even like talking to yourself, Katia, we went and played paddle with somebody else, like you're meeting new people and it's always keeping your mind open. You always feel like you're taking in information. You're not just staying and you're saying like
in your
9 to 5 little routine.
Yeah.
Like if I wanted to do that, I'd have stayed in Burleydown where I was born, 10 houses, one church, a pub, and never left.
What would you say to somebody that is currently being pigeonholed and they're scared to take that step out of the lane they're currently sat in?
I think for me, it's quite simply two things. The person that always talks about the opportunities and talks about what they would like to do, and the person that actually just takes that first step. So for example, like we wanted to do more stuff with cars, like, okay, let's do a YouTube video. Let's create the shorts. Let's put ourselves in the situations, talk to the brands, like, just do it. Like, it's never going to be perfect. And that's one thing that for me, I've always kind of been about, like, I'm a perfectionist. But if you put the stuff out there, like, it's always going to develop. The content's going to develop. You're going to develop. But if you never put that first piece of content out there, well, you're just always going to be talking about it. Nobody's ever going to see it. You have to put it out there into the universe to get it back to you.
The power of manifestation is so strong.
Oh my God. Every night when I was a competitor, dream about winning the British Open Championship in Blackpool at Winter Gardens. Every night, dream about it. And I wouldn't go to bed until I visualized my exact dance routine, every step, every timing, looking at every corner. And then when it got to that exact day, when you're tired, exhausted, that's what I kind of zapped that energy. I was kind of like, okay, I'm going to take all that. I've done it every night for 10 years. Like, it's going to happen now. And then it did. And like, for me, if I'd never manifested it, if I'd never put myself in that position, it would have been the first time. I wouldn't know what happened. I've already played that final thousands and thousands of times in my head that it's just second nature then.
So as a natural competitor and an athlete, visualization clearly comes easily to you. You mentioned the word perfectionist. When it comes to taking steps into these new ventures, do you struggle with imperfection?
I do struggle with imperfection on that aspect. What I struggle with is working with other people, especially when you have to be open. And that one kind of clear point in my life is understanding that you can't do everything.
Yeah.
As much as you try, there's only one of you and there's only so many hours in the day. As much as you break it down and time box every minute of the day, like it's about allowing other people to do their jobs, but still staying on top of them. And that's one thing that stresses me out a lot. I'm like, well, I would have done it this way, or I would have done it. I've just worked all night until I get it done, so it's ready for the next day. Yeah. That's what always kind of is quite hard for me at the minute.
Yeah, because with these new ventures and opening new lanes, you are no longer the expert, essentially.
No, yeah.
You can have the vision and direction as an expert. However, it's a team effort.
100%. I think the one thing that with opportunities now, what I personally find is when even I do lectures for dancing, I'm always like, well, you've got Instagram, YouTube, whatever. You can see what's being done all over the world.
Yeah.
Like I'm here, someone's in Russia, someone's in China, someone's in Canada, in America. If they're doing something cool dancing, like don't just like it. I'd be like, okay, I'm going to try and do two spins because he's done three spins, and then I'll try and do four spins, he does five spins. Like use it as a competitive advantage. And that's the same with open up limited companies, learning about tax, VAT, learning about how you employ other people. Like the internet's there. Like all you have to do is just sit down. Everybody wants to tell you, like take it all in, find the information, research it. Like
learn.
As long as you're willing to put the time in, like you'll get there. All the information is all there in one space in your phone.
Do you like learning?
Oh, I love learning.
What fuels you the most currently in your new business ventures? What gets you excited?
I think the one thing that gets me most excited right now is the fact of the matter that if certain things come off, A, it's the freedom it gives you in the future when you're building something up, but also it's about bringing value to other people. So as much as like what you do strictly, you would be a public servant. Mm-hmm. In the aspect of I always treated strictly that if I'm creating a routine and I know somebody's worked 9 to 5 all week, their time off is on a Saturday, they sit down, they get ready to watch Strictly, like I have to give them everything. So for that 60 seconds, 90 seconds of the dance, they forget about all their troubles.
I'm going to pause you right here because this has been named as the Strictly Fountain. When my best friend dances on a Saturday, I'll walk up here
and do a little circle.
You're going to do a circle for me, AG?
I'll do a circle with you. Okay, when we go for our runs on a Saturday, we'll pop around the circle.
Yeah, we'll do the Strictly walk. Right, where were we?
The fact of the matter, like that 90 seconds, somebody's worked all day, whatever their time is, like it's so valuable for me to produce the best routine for them so they can relax. Like life's hard when we have the opportunity to perform for people and do it justice, then it's like giving everything back to that person sat down on the couch, enjoying their cup of tea.
How do you feel when somebody describes you as AJ Pritchard from Strictly, the dancer? Does it frustrate you or?
No, absolutely not. I danced from the age of 12 up to like 18, did Strictly for 4 years. That is what I've done. But I think it's very important for people when they talk to somebody that very British. Hey, Amy. What do you do for a living? That's literally like, oh, what's the weather? It's sunny today. Like, I feel like when you travel the world, people don't ask you that. People ask, oh, what do you enjoy? Or what's your passions? Or like, people should be more open-minded in the way they approach people at a dinner table. It's like, we're just so British, aren't we? That sort of aspect.
So what do you do for a living?
Yeah, it's like
okay,
what's your passions? Like, or do you enjoy sport? Or do you like art? Or like, things like that define people more than the job they do. We're lucky, we have cool jobs. Some people are just like, just work at, maybe loves the post office. I don't know, I was thinking about the post office then. I need to send something somewhere.
Yeah, but it's like, without doing a disservice, let's just say, no. You're a cashier in Mackie D's. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
And very valuable.
Many people, that's a stepping stone to whatever they're destined to do. Or in fact, they might be happy doing that because they've got purpose with their own interests outside of that.
Yeah.
So there should be no judgment made within whatever
you do. That's the hardest thing with social media. It's kind of like the watch, the car, the house, the travel, all that sort of stuff, where it's actually just dial it back. Are the people happy? Most of the time, if they're right at that top level, then they're not the happiest people.
Yeah.
They feel like they're missing something. Their family, good friends. That's the most important thing.
So when it comes to being put in a box as a dancer, what do you say to people?
My reply to people is like, especially when you go to events and all that, it's obviously you go into an event, they know you for that reason. For me, it's always about talking to them people, putting the question back to them, oh, what do you love doing? What's your passion? What are you doing at the weekend? Like, where have you been? What have you traveled? Like, things that are more interesting rather than just the fact that this is my job, this is what I do.
Yeah.
So I think people are intrigued.
Or what I did, right? It's like, that is what you did, but actually, you are more multifaceted and have more interest than that one sole outlet. For example, with us, we've connected over mutual interests, which couldn't be further from what we have done as a career. And that's what makes conversation engaging and entertaining.
Plus, it's nice to do for me. Like, I go to the gym because A, I feel physically fit, but also mentally fit. we'll let you go play paddle and we do it together. It's nice to have that release and to have them people around you that it's like, it's fun, it's enjoyable. I think sometimes it's about like people get very stuck like, I need to work 24/7. Well, actually, no, you don't need to work 24/7. You need to take a look at like, what are your priorities and then focus on them a little bit more.
Yeah, 100%. Wellness is definitely a priority of mine. And I'm very aware that you take good care of yourself. With the tours, the travel, the hosting, your job does take you everywhere. In those situations, how do you continue to stay on top of your game, physically and mentally?
I think it's about the routine. And it's very hard to, it's kind of counterintuitive to me saying that because your routine is thrown up in the air. But your routine at the end of the day is the same thing. You wake up, you do your day, you go to bed. Well, if you wake up, do my sit-ups or do my press-ups. I feel like I've done that. It's what my brain knows. And that routine, the part that I can control, I control it. I don't allow me to be like, oh, I'm a bit tired, I'm not going to do that today. Or I'm not going to check my emails in the morning so I know that I've done it. Or at the end of the night, I always write down all the things I feel like I haven't accomplished in the day or notes or things I need to do. I write them down at the end of the day. So I wake up in the morning, I can see my notes, exactly what I need to tick off. So I feel like I'm not wasting time.
That's very disciplined.
I just feel like time's so valuable. Why would I waste it? I still like to go out and party and have a good time, but I still keep up with all the things that I've just said because therefore I feel like I've allowed myself to have that work life, play life, and kind of, it's a good mix. It's healthy to do that.
It's so, so healthy. So on a casual Monday morning, what are we likely to find you doing?
At the gym. Full body, actually an upper body workout on the Monday mornings, definitely.
Oh, getting the beach muscles ready for the weekend, yeah?
Monday is always 50% off at Soho House. I'm not going to lie, sometimes I may find
myself are you
there.
Giving away your age, AJ? It's not for me. Sad times.
You can come with me after we play the game of paddle.
Done deal. It's on.
But no, I feel like I'm sat on a laptop most of the time at the minute, which is the irony. Just kind of making sure you stay fit and healthy. But yeah, at the minute, laptop seems to be my best friend.
Is there an element of being in the public eye that puts a slight pressure on you still looking a certain way physically? As a former dancer, let's be honest, the Strictly team, everybody's got good bods.
Yeah.
So moving out of it, in my world, often we tend to see people
the extremes like football is like bloody
yeah,
hell
yeah, real
is
extremes.
A very healthy summer isn't it?
Is that something you're aware of?
I think about for me personally, like I feel good when I'm fit, and then therefore when I feel good because I'm fit, I mentally feel good, so it's all hand
too
in hand,
right.
Like it's not about, yes, if I'm going to do a photo shoot in 2 weeks, I'm probably going to eat a little bit less and work on my buys and tries and my core a little bit more. I'm not going to lie. But
get those abs popping.
I enjoy that. Like that makes me happy. It's not It's not a pressure. It's like, it's a good thing. It's a good pressure. It's healthy.
Yeah.
But I'm not, if I want to eat dessert or that, like just being on holiday for a little bit, like, yeah, I put on 5 or 6 pounds, but I wasn't too stressed about it.
Yeah.
I was a little bit stressed at the end. I was like, why didn't I do this photo shoot at the beginning of the whole day when I was ripped?
That's definitely the right mindset to have, is doing it through enjoyment rather than aesthetical deliverable.
And if I was just going to do like aesthetics, like I would just literally do biceps, triceps and sit-ups. That's all I do all day.
Yeah.
Whereas most of my training is, it's more about like strong, big compound movements, clean press. Like that's for me. So my back feels good. I feel like if I'm fit, and strong, if I'm walking into a meeting, if I'm trying to do too many things in the day, like I'm fit mentally and physically, I can keep going. I can keep typing away on my laptop, or I can get across town when I need to be. Like if I'm not fit, you can't do any of that stuff, can you?
No, you can't. You can't.
As much as you say,
you can't hustle at pace.
You can't.
And that is what we like to do, AJ.
You've got to keep moving. Like you. You're like, I get my steps in at the same time. Oh my God, the cutest little baby ever.
So cute. Love that. Podcasting through a pub. 4 years on Strictly, without doubt, puts you in the public eye. And with that comes huge intrigue and interest in your personal life and dating life.
Mm.
Curtis, your brother, went on Love Island.
Yeah.
His profile skyrockets.
Crazy.
As his older brother, were you able to offer him any guidance on how to manage that?
Curtis controlled chaos. In the best possible way. Like when he did Love Island, I was kind of like, okay, cool. You need a little bit of a journey. He had like a if you saw the show, it was a complete car crash multiple times on that show. But the one thing with Curtis that's really important, he does stay true to himself. He'll just say as it is. Good, bad, indifferent. It doesn't really matter. He'll just say it. And I think that's one thing that made him so likable on that show, Love Island, because he never watched the show. He never even watched one episode.
No.
And that's what makes him as a character on that show very different than everybody else that was going on to it. Yes, it was a business move at the end of the day. Yes, you're going to get millions of followers on Instagram. But Kurt was like, free holiday, free food, good-looking girls, and getting paid.
Why not?
Can't really complain. Nothing can go too wrong, can it?
It also can, though, and we've seen it, where people do struggle post going on big shows like that because there is a huge amount of gain in profile, interest,
the
invasion.
Problem is the support system that you've had before and afterwards. If you've got a solid family and friends around you before, you stick with that solid friends and family afterwards. Because most people, the sad things that happen with some of the people that passed away, unfortunately, taking their life. From my outside, I don't know personally, but you see the watches. You've just spent 40K on an AP and you've got the Mercedes that you're paying £1,500 a month on. You come to understand your finances afterwards. You've got a VAT bill, you've got a corporation tax, you've got your personal tax bill, and they spent all that money. And then financially, it becomes too much. And that's one sad thing that I think is more detriment to maybe our British way of we don't talk about money, or maybe it's to do with our education system because we're not taught about certain things like that. But it is sad, but there are so many more positives than there are negatives. And I think that's one thing that I always look at. Yes, the negatives usually get highlighted. Say you have thousands of comments, you still remember the one or two negative ones.
Like, always.
It's human nature, unfortunately. But for me, it's always been about like, well, I'm gonna take the positive. We all have them down days, and I think it's important to be okay with that. It's natural to feel a bit like, a bit zapped today or not feel 100%. That's not a bad thing. That's just being human.
And on those days where you're feeling a bit zapped or a bit down, what's your little hack for picking yourself back up and turning it around? Because I think there is a real art to that, and everybody has their own unique way of doing
it. Yeah.
And the people that listen to this podcast take a lot away from each and every single guest because everybody has a different take on it.
For me, it's kind of like everybody has their own personal thing that they kind of connect to. For me, it's my physical exercise. It's as much physical as it is mental. But just picking up the phone, happily talking to my mom, my granddad especially. I try and speak to my granddad every single day.
No way!
I walk back from the gym, speak to him for 5-10 minutes, and we just talk about usually the same thing every day, like the headline newspaper, the weather, British again, and the usual, something happened a little bit more in my life. But every single day I talk to him. And I think that kind of routine is just nice because it removes you from any stresses or things. It's not, to use the word, as a distraction in a bad way, but it's a good distraction.
Yeah.
Like when you do, for me, paddle or something like that. It's fun. I forget about all the other things. Like I've got my 1 hour. Don't get hold of me right now unless it's very important. That's my time. And we spoke about this. You like to do your run. Like, that's your time. And it's very important to make sure that that's within the day, like, whatever that is. I always like to have lunch. Like, I work at home. So I like to have my egg on toast and sit down and watch 15 minutes of just like crap TV, have my egg on toast, my cup of tea. I only need that amount of time and then I'm fine, let's go again. But I always have to have that sort of moment in the day.
You
makes
time.
Me happy, yeah.
You time is so important. Quick question though, what time are you having lunch?
In between 12 and 1.
Okay, so what channel are you watching?
At the moment.
I know.
At the moment.
You're watching Loose Women.
No. Actually, I'm currently watching, what am I watching? Quantico on Disney Plus. It's an old series. There's three series in there that are, and I've gone through all the other stuff and I'm onto that one.
Okay, so you're not on terrestrial.
Well, no, it's because I feel like at the moment I'm trying to help somebody else produce a TV show, and that TV show has a lot to do with crime, drama and subplots. So I'm watching all these dramas to try and come up with some new ideas to help with that TV show.
Constantly information absorbing.
Yeah, I won't be doing something
if your 15 minutes of you time.
You listen, like I get in the car, I'll stick on We Study Billionaires. That's my favourite podcast. And I listen to that every time I drive. Like if I'm walking to get the underground, I listen to a podcast. I'll never not be trying to learn something every minute of the day.
Serious inspiration constantly being inspired from a multitude of sources.
It's my dyslexic psycho brain that's always ticking.
I like it. It's good. It's important that you are ticking though, right? And those people that do have dyslexia, ADHD, and we have it in our family.
Yeah.
And those traits are so conducive to creativity.
They're the best thing ever. Like, you think differently. You think differently. And that's the most positive thing ever, because everybody would be going, 1, 2, 3. And I'll be going like, okay, 3, 4, 5. I don't know, how are we going to work? Like, if I go into any building, like, I love architecture, I love structural engineering. Like, my brain can't switch off. I'll be like, so how's that wall being set up? How's that door being done? How many screws are in that thing? I'll start counting the screws on the table. Like, my brain, it just never stop. Always have to be tapping or something.
It's your superpower.
It's my little superpower. I'll take it.
With regards to using those superpowers, can you give us any intel on your current projects? Because I feel there's a lot of scheming going on, a lot of manifesting.
I think the hardest thing for me, I never like, you know, you have them friends, they're always like, okay, I'm doing this, this, and this, and they start talking about it as though like, I'm cool, and I'm like, and then you, like a month later, you're like, yeah, it didn't happen. Yeah, no, that didn't work. TV show didn't come to fruition.
Yeah.
I hate talking about projects until they're actually done. But I've kind of got, with one of my friends, we're trying to do something within like a TV show and write something. Like, I'm not in it. I'm just a person
creative.
Helping. Yeah.
Creative vision.
Which is quite nice. Fun. Property, I always love dabbling and doing different things. Obviously, I want a higher return. So I'll do like serviced accommodation rather than standard rentals, but still do that. Which is really cool. We got a very big project launching. I don't know when this goes out to when the other one comes out, but it's a very big project. So hopefully it should be out now.
September, like from 18th onwards.
Hopefully that other big project should be out now, and we'll probably talk about it when we're paddling and pick it up with this episode. Some other fun things underneath.
I love it. There's power within holding it within the four walls of your brain.
Yeah, because there's certain things that just like,
I feel you.
Until
feel
like you. It's right there.
I get
that as
well.
It's being beta tested with certain people. Like,
there's
yeah.
a pressure also. I find people are like, so what are you up to? What are you doing next? What are you doing now? You know what? Next, today is actually me just being and enjoying and accepting where I am and making the most of waking up and enjoying this.
And I don't know about you, but I feel like when people have got a public perception, somebody's known them for something, it's like, in the British media, you build these people up and then they love to tear you back down.
Yeah.
Like, it's such an awful scenario to be in. So I feel like with certain projects, I just never talk about them because I just feel like people want you to fail. So yeah. I'm like, okay, cool, that's fine. That'll give me more motivation to work harder. And then when it is successful, then I'll be like, okay, cool, this is it. It's been working for X amount of years. I'm pretty happy. I'm still living a good life. Still got my cars. Still chilling.
Still chilling,
playing
still
paddle.
Playing paddle. The way we like to do.
Yeah.
AJ, lastly, what's your relationship like with Monday?
I love Monday.
I love a Monday.
You know, like, it's such a like propaganda, like, oh, sad. Oh, then you get to a happy hump day of like a Wednesday. I love a bloody Monday.
Go on.
Like, it's just great. Like, I love a body workout in the morning. It makes me very happy. And I feel like people are actually working all over the world again, like, back on it. I can't wait to get back to Monday.
Love that.
That's every day.
And AJ, lastly, if you had a life motto or quote, share with our listeners to inspire them to get up when they're struggling and not feeling motivated, what would you say?
Oh, Jesus, that's a big one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. We always like to dump that on our guests at the end.
Okay, no, I think for me personally, being through all the ups and downs that I've had in my life, it's that every second, every minute, every hour is way more valuable than you could imagine, because so many people don't have that time. It's taken away from them.
Strong. AJ Pritchard, thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you. Like,
here
yeah.
on the Monday Mile Walk and Talk podcast. You guys know.
We got our steps in as well, didn't we?
Yeah.
We put our Apple Watches on before we went.
Yeah, we've definitely walked.
I burned some calories. I can now have my chocolate bar.
How far have we gone?
We've only done 1.67 miles.
That's decent.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
Yeah.
Seeing as it is called the Monday Mile Podcast. Listeners, you know what to do. Make sure you give this a little like and subscribe. It is available on all your favourite podcast apps. And of course, the audio drops very early for the early risers, to be precise, around 12 a.m. every single Monday. Monday Mile listeners, it's a wrap.